This podcast is brought to you by DIA, the trusted global neutral forum for healthcare product development professionals. DIA, driving insights to action.
Over the last 50 years, South Africa has developed a medicines regulatory authority with internationally recognized standing. As part of the country's medical device regulatory reforms, the Medicines Control Council, MCC, started transitioning to the new South Africa Health Products Regulatory Authority, or SAHPRA, SAHPRA, on June 1st, 2017. The 2018 July issue of Therapeutic Innovation and Regulatory Science, or TIRS for short, will feature a study evaluating the current South African regulatory review process within the Medicines Control Council. The study, conducted by a group of experts in regulatory science, identifies key regulatory milestones and review times prior to the establishment of SAHPRA. The authors hope to provide a baseline for assessing changes and improvements within the South African regulatory system as the MCC transitions to the newly established SAHPRA. I am Alberto Grignolo, editor of the DIA Global Forum. Today, my guest is Sam Salek, professor of pharmacoepidemiology at the School of Life and Medical Sciences, University of Hertfordshire, UK, and co-author of the study. He is here to discuss the main findings of the study, as well as the challenges and opportunities for enhanced regulatory practices in South Africa. Professor Salek, thank you for joining us and welcome.
Pleasure.
To begin with, what were the main goals of the study?
Well, the study aimed firstly to appraise the regulatory review process within the MCC, which in a way the current system in South Africa, and secondly to identify key milestones, and thirdly evaluate the review time for new active substances and major line extension from 2015 to 2017.
I wanted to ask you, you chose the 2015-2017 framework as a focus for your study. Is there anything significant about that time frame, if anything?
Well, the idea of this study was, since the South African authority was being established as a new system as of June 1st, 2017, was to provide a baseline as such that the new authority, SAHPRA, could be compared with a baseline. And this was quite important because of some of the perhaps not so favorable news about the South African authority in terms of the review time compared to other established authorities. So the time frame of 2015 to 2017 was felt to be an appropriate 3 years period as a baseline before the application start to be received by the new authority, SAHPRA. So that was really the main rationale for choosing the time frame as we did.
So the intent was to select a time frame that was as recent as possible or as close as possible to the changeover from MCC to SAHPRA.
Absolutely. Up to the very last moment of the establishment of the new authority. The objectives were to assess the current regulatory review process in South Africa, and then to identify the key milestones as well as timelines and stages of the review process, and give us the opportunity to evaluate the effectiveness of measures used to ensure consistency, transparency, timeliness, and predictability in the review process, and finally to review the challenges and opportunities for enhanced regulatory practices in South Africa with a view to improving, ultimately, patients' access to innovative medicines.
Very good. So let's get into the methodology of the study, if we might. How did you go about making your assessments?
Well, we wanted to look at three parts as part of our assessment. One was looking at the organization of the authority. And we did that as part of our plan and research methodology. We documented an introduction to the authority, its current structure and size, the resources available, and the review model currently in place as the MCC. In the part two, we wanted to look at the key milestone in the registration of medicines within the review process. And this was based on a standard process map that was previously developed by an organization based in London, CIRS, through the study of established and of the emerging regulatory authorities. This process map provided a detailed description of the pathway of the dossier submitted to the South African authority through administrative and technical screening steps, which is a normal process for all the well-established authorities.
Sorry, you mentioned CIRS. To be clear for our listeners, that is the Center for Innovation in Regulatory Science. Is that correct?
That's correct indeed, yes.
Thank you.
So this was followed by the scientific evaluation and the committee and the council processes. The completed process map enabled the collection of information in a standardized format, which could be then used to simplify the comparison of the MCC and the current review process with the regulatory pathway used by other regulatory authorities. Then in part three, we wanted to look at the good review practice and how much the current, the MCC, the South African Authority, implements the good review practices, which is recognized by the major regulatory authority. So building quality into the assessment and registration process provides an account of the activities and the practices currently in place at the MCC, which contribute towards improved consistency, transparency, timeliness, and predictability in the regulatory review and to the quality of the decision-making process. This questionnaire that was used and allowed us to just do that and give us also a baseline so we can later on, once the new authority is fully established and their dossiers are reviewed under the auspices of the new authority, for us to go back and compare to see how different these quality measures as part of the good review practice have actually been changed or improved.
So this questionnaire was provided to the MCC, who responded to you?
Indeed, the authority completed the questionnaire, and unfortunately MCC is not fully automated, so a lot of the information had to be collected manually, and that's one of the thing that the South African authority is hoping that the fully implementation of electronic data capturing will take place under the new authority.
Were you able to obtain any information that did not originate with the MCC, some independent third-party information, and were you able to validate that, or were your entire sources of information within the MCC?
The entire information were within the MCC, but the advantage of this study was that we had the collaboration of two key individuals who are co-authors on the paper who are employed by the authority, and therefore they had an in-depth and insight into the way that the review processes were practiced and some of the because a lot of times, we have done quite a number of these studies in different regions. You go to an authority and you ask them about, for example, the good review practices and the quality measures. They will also tell you, and or they fill in the questionnaires, the way that they feel is politically correct. But you really never find out whether that's exactly what's actually happening on the ground. It may be that they have it on paper in their SOPs, but this is actually happening or not. But the advantage here was that the two people who were involved in collecting the data with us were actually working with the authority, and they had a hands-on experience to see whether, for example, what the level of the transparency was or what the level of the consistency. So that really, in a way, is the strength of this study compared to some of the other studies that is done without the involvement of people actually working on the ground.
To be clear, these two individuals were working at the authority during the study, while the study was being conducted?
They were working for the authority, and one of them is still working for the authority. The other one has left now, joined WHO.
Moving now to the results, what were some of the most significant findings of your study?
If I could just mention, before I get into that, there has been quite a lot of publicity around the challenges that South African regulatory authority poses for the industry in particular, both with regard to approval of new chemical entities, as well as the line extension. And a number of different figures in terms of the review time has been bounced around. So it was important that we look at that. So the overall regulatory median approval time was decreased by 14% in 2017 to 1,411 calendar days, compared with the that of 2016, despite the 27% increase in the number of applications. So that, I think, is quite a significant finding. And if I could elaborate on that, perhaps to the listeners to make it a bit more clear, during the study time period, the highest number of approved new active substances for international companies was 34 in 2017, while the highest number of approval of the new active substances for local companies was 8. In both 2015 and 2017, the number for the local companies did not change. But the highest number of new active substances was approved in 2017 was 42, with a median approval time of 1,411 calendar days for applications made by the international company, and 1,470 calendar days for application made by local companies. So this is quite fascinating, because some of the similar studies that we have done in other jurisdictions, for example, the seven Gulf countries, it favors the local companies. The approval time is always shorter for the local companies. Whereas here, we see that the approval time, despite being long for both of them, but actually for the international companies, is shorter than it is for the local company.
A duration of review of 1,400 and some days, of course, is very long, as you pointed out. The standard internationally now is becoming closer to 1 year, or about 360, 380 days still in South Africa. Any sense that this length of review could be shortened in the near future?
Well, the whole reason for promulgation of the new South African authority is to resolve those challenges that the authority is facing. The major reason, of course, is resources, both the human resources as well as the financial resources. So in the new South African authority, the new model for the application fee will be implemented. There is also, under the new South African authority, a provision for reliance and joint review among the BRICS TM countries and others in the region, which some of that work has already been started in terms of the reliance. And also these authorities looking at very seriously how they could change the model of review. For example, the full review, abridged, and verification, depending on the type of application they receive. So some rationalization, not that every application has to go through full review, which they have to rely on external committees to be able to do some of these reviews. And that obviously puts a greater challenge on the authority if you're already suffering from lack of resources. Implementing some of these other type of models, including abridged and verification, could actually reduce the load and improve the approval time.
Reliance on outside committees, which you mentioned, is certainly a mechanism. There is an emerging model around the world of regulatory reliance on other regulatory authorities. And there have been some examples of that. For example, a consortium of the Swiss authority, the Canadian, Singapore, and Australian authorities.
Absolutely.
The South African authority considering relying on other regulatory agencies to any extent, given the limitation of the resources in South Africa at this time?
Absolutely. They have already started the program of reliance with some of the other African countries. And through this process of the study that we have done, we are also trying to help them with some of the agencies that we are aware to put them together, as we have done with a number of other countries. For example, we have done this with Israel more recently, that we have managed to act as a mediator between them and the Swiss Medic. So they are actually, doing joint review.
Sorry, when you say we, who do you mean when you say we?
The group that we undertake these type of regulatory studies
You mean your university?
The university, that's right, yes. Partly in collaboration with the IRS. At the university, we offer three level of degrees in regulatory science. One is the integrated undergraduate program, which is 4 years in regulatory science, both pharmaceuticals and devices. And then we have got a master program, which we run it through TOPRA, the Organization for Regulatory Professionals. And also we have got a PhD track, in regulatory science.
So back to the regulatory reliance on other agencies. What is the South African perspective on relying on other agencies, perhaps not just other African agencies, but maybe agencies perhaps in the Northern Hemisphere?
That is certainly part of the, if you like, strategy of the new authority, the SAHPRA. And in fact, one of the co-authors of this paper has been invited by WHO to be involved in the evaluation of a number of other emerging market regulatory authorities. And through that work that she is doing, and it seems now that it's turned into a more of a permanent role, and part of her remit would be to forge alliance with a number of, as you have mentioned, those type of agencies in the Northern Hemisphere.
Going back to the review of applications, can you tell us what measures were used by the South African Regulatory Authority to ensure the quality and the transparency of the review process?
Yes, the MCC has initiated the development and implementation of the Good Review Practice Framework. However, it is acknowledged that the systems are still evolving. And we have presented some of this in the paper as part of the study data that we collected. So the study provides an overview of the status of the implementation of the Good Review Practices by the MCC and demonstrate that there are a number of elements of the framework that need to be formalized and improved. So there are some good review practices are happening. You know, for example, the areas that, you know, they are reporting that they are doing well at the moment are the training program, and other areas that they are hoping to improve is the external quality audit, which is not performed routinely, and they're planning to do that under the new authority. Implementation of electronic document management system is planned under the new authority. Summary being available and published on the website of the authority, that is currently not the practice. Implementation of electronic document management system, again, you know, it's not something that is done and is planned. Establishment of a dedicated quality department is also planned as part of the new authority. So those are the important elements of the good review practices, which is not currently in place in the current authority, which is planned under the new system.
To your knowledge, is the South African government planning significant budget allocations for the new agency? And is there any possibility of contemplating user fees, as are being used in several other countries, to help support the financial needs and resource needs of the agency?
Well, absolutely. Under the new system, in fact, the authority is becoming more autonomous. They were operating under the Ministry of Health, but that is no longer going to be the case. So the plan is that on a sort of a stage-wise system, they are going to be, in a way, autonomous, not only in decision-making, but also in managing their own funds. Because previously, whatever the authority was receiving, it was going to a black hole in the ministry. But now they actually will be able to retain that user fee, application fee by themselves. And that is really quite encouraging, because I think under that, quite a lot of things can be changed in terms of improving the resources within the authority, both in terms of internally and externally, because it is very important to use the external resources. But then you have to have the financial resources to be able to pay for it. At the moment, I hear that, you know, most cases they're not actually able to pay for the services that they've actually used externally.
Your study has clearly established a baseline, as you described, and this suggests that in the future it might be a good idea to do a follow-up study to see whether the new agency, SAHPRA, actually has different metrics relating to their performance. Do you have plans to conduct such a study in the future?
Yes, indeed we have. We have already discussed this with the new authority. And also the encouraging news is that one of the co-authors who's still working for the South African authority, she's also very committed to work with us on those projects that we have submitted to the authority. We want to look at the implementation of the benefit risk assessment that is planned to be implemented under the new authority. We want to also look at the decision, in a way, sort of more structured decision making that is planned under the authority and the transparency of decision making. We want to certainly look at that. So those areas of the good review practices, and if you like, the good quality decision making practices, we would like to look at within the next 3 years.
3 years, right. Finally, do you envision that SAPRA would commit itself anytime soon to defined targets and goals for reviewing marketing applications, perhaps in line with other agencies, having a target, for example, of 300 to 400 days to review and act on an application?
We have recommended to the authority, as a result of our study, a series of changes that the new South African authority should be thinking about. And part of that is exactly what you just mentioned, advertising the timing of different milestones, including clock stop, clock start time. And of course, you know, a very clear, transparent application fee. So a series of recommendations we have made, which includes what you have just mentioned.
Very well. That brings us to the end of our conversation. Professor Salek, thank you very much for your time and the information and perspective on the study that will be published in the July issue of TIRS. Thank you very much indeed.
A pleasure.
For DIA Global Forum, I am Alberto Grignolo.
To learn more about this topic, visit us online at diaglobal.org.